came out this beginning, a new sugya at the bottom of Hamad Aleph. So the Gemara has finally concluded Mikoros, all three of the methods of Kiddushin that are recorded in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara suggests that maybe there's another method, maybe there's something that's not even mentioned in the Mishnah. So that's where Rav Huna begins. I'm Rav Huna, at the bottom of Hamad Aleph. I'm Rav Huna. Chuppah koyin mikal v'chaymeh. Chuppah should be an acceptable method for Kiddushin. That's a very, very startling statement, because we didn't even know what the word means, chuppah. So we're not even going to define that term. It's going to take us a long time. Eventually, hopefully, we will. But we're going to say very, very kitzer right now without committing ourselves. It's the method, it's that which is done, the process that is done, to affect the chalos of nisuin. Now, whether you personally think that means going into a yichud room, you think it means going home, you think it means standing under chuppah, you think it means badek, and you think it means putting a veil. I don't want to commit myself to anything, but any of those above that you think may be the halachic chuppah that we know affects the status of Nisuin, comes Rav Huna with a bombshell and he says, guess what? Exact process can be used for Kiddushin. So you can go with a woman into a yichud room and say, Harem Kadesh Libra Chuppazah. Or you could say, stand on the Chuppazah, Harem Kadesh Libra Chuppazah. There's no ring, there's no kesef, no shtai, no beer, nothing. None of the methods as recorded in the Mishnah. Rav Huna, the woman is Bekadesh. It's a Gevalt, Devam Shadim Minat Torah. What's it based on? A Kal V'chem. What's the Kal V'chem? Uma kesef. Kesef does not have the ability to let a woman eat truma. If a kohen is mekadesh a woman, so there's no way she can eat truma. Everybody knows that a arusa bas Yisrael doesn't eat truma, but still it's koine. So kesef is so shvach. Kesef is a nothing. Kesef is a garnish, and it still has the ability to create kedushin. Chuppah shemachelas betruma, chuppah which has the ability to be machel betruma, as the Mishnah Yisrael Masech Ksubes. It should be good. To which the Gemara says that kavachomer is nice, but not correct. Why? Because Rav Huna's facts don't seem to be right. Because the Gemara is about to ask that min haTorah kesef is in fact ma'achil. So if min haTorah kesef is ma'achil b'truva, ois kavachomer, how kavachomer goes up in smoke. So the Gemara has to revamp and rework, and finally in the bottom of Hamad Aleph, the Gemara recalculates the kavachomer on the parachachi. Uma kesef she'eno goyne koyne. Kesef does not create nisuin, everybody knows that. And yet kesef is koyne, because kicha kichem is the effort, the tzachinim, the so the kesef, which is not so ayayay, not such a greatest kid in the world, harayi can create nisuin, but even the shvacha, weak kesef, can create kedushin. Chuppah she'gemeres, chuppah on top of him and days, that is so powerful, so all-encompassing, that it can create nisuin. Eno din she'tik de kal v'chaymer, it should be able to be koyne. Wow, what a Kal V'chomer, an amazing Kal V'chomer. Believe it or not, I don't even want to say it, but the Gemara is going to reject this Kal V'chomer because of Shekin Podim Bohekta Shemai Sasheni. Now, I'd love to bring back pleasant memories from last week, but that was last week's year, that was the new sugya. So the Gemara is going to revamp and rework and work again, and a lot of recalculation, ways going on over here. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is Gemara is going to come up with some kind of a Kal V'chomer that's going to potentially carry the day, that's going to create the ability for Chuppah to be koyne. And the basic gist of the Kal V'chomer, according to Rav Huna, is the notion that at the end of the day, Chuppah does do something. We know that Chuppah is Gemeres. So Chuppah, which is Gemeres, so some way, somehow, some method of Kal V'chomer, Chuppah should be koyne as well. That was Rav Huna's chiddush. And eventually, other Amoraim are going to question this Kal V'chomer, question this Yafusa. Again, when the sugya comes to an end, we'll see how this plays out l'halacha. So let's just stop Rav Huna for a minute. Before we get into the intricacies of his Kal V'chomer, let's just stop him for a second. Chuppah is Gemeres. What we call, what's the lashon that we use to describe Chuppah Gemeres? What chalais are we talking about here? Chalais what? Nisuin. Chuppah being Kaina, what chalais are we talking about? Kedushin. Now, there's no question, if we are trying to create a new method of Kedushin, we want this new method to work min haTorah. So Rav Huna is talking a language deraisa. There's no question about it. The lingo that Rav Huna is using has to be a convincing lashon, has to be a convincing reason, an argument on the level of deraisa. So at first glance, that's okay. We're all right with that, because the method of libud that Rav Huna is invoking is a Kal V'chomer. Now, we all know Kal V'chomer is a deraisa. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I hope everybody davened shachris this morning, and I hope everybody said karbanos. I hope everybody said Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. It is 12:10 already. Actually, it's 12:14. Okay. So, was I right? All right, so that means I was 8 minutes late for Shia. Not just 6 minutes late. Okay, sorry. All right. 8 out of Mesa Matzah for Russia. I can't say that I was late for Shia. So everybody say, Rav Huna is clearly talking on a level of Deraisa. He's invoking Kavachom. Kavachom is one of the Midrash Tanu Drashas, but there's no question about that. But I'm still not 100% sure that Rav Huna's line of reasoning, his argument, is really compelling Deraisa, because he's invoking a principle of Nisuin that, quite frankly, I'm not even sure is a Deraisa principle. Menon Emili, we state in the Torah there's a principle called Nisuin. But Nisuin, where does it say? The Yichud room, where does the Vedav Shem Moshalema stand under a canopy? Vedav Shem Moshalema, you know, Goro Badek, whatever you think Chuppah Nisuin is. Vedav Shem Moshalema, no, we state the concept of Nisuin in the Torah. So from the fact that Rav Huna is using Nisuin to, he's kind of trying to piggyback off of Nisuin, off the Chuppah of Nisuin, there's no question that this is the Araistic concept. Where does it say this? Where does the whole parish of Nisuin come from in the Chumash? Any ideas? Maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe we made it up. So how would you even begin to tackle this question? I'm asking you, is the suit a concept deraisa or not? Asher kiddushan mitzvosav, v'sivanu harayos, v'yosalanu asa arusos, v'tilanu asa nesuos, lanu adechu v'kiddushin. Stop. I want to challenge that bracha. What do we say in the Sheva, in the Bracha, not Sheva, the Brichas Eber said under the Chuppah? We highlight the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlalom was Mekadesh us with the Parash of Arayas. Is Arayas a Din Deraisa? Yeah. Achim Yosin Kedoshim, okay? The Asa Lomitzos, what the Bracha is referring to is the fact that an Arusa is Asa to our husband. Our husband, quote unquote. There's an Isru Bol Arusasai. And we're making a tremendous Bracha with Bim Shabech to Rebbeinu Shlalom, for giving us that beautiful, wonderful institution called the Osalanus Arusos. Is that a Din Deraisa? Is there an Issa bin HaTorah to be Bol Arusosai? So the Rambam writes, no. The Rambam writes, the Issa Arusos only with the Rabbanon. We talk about it in the Sheva Brachas. I'm sorry, we talk about it in the Birchas Eversim. How could we say, Asher Kedishonu Mitzvayisa Mitzivanu V'Osalanus Arusos? It's Shekhev V'Chazim, it's not true. The Baruch Hashem never asked Arusos. What's the answer? It's as true as what? You can light Hanukkah candles in a few weeks from now. Are you kidding? The Rosham doesn't say Vidab Shabashlam light Hanukkah candles. So whose kasha is that? The Gemara, very good. Come on, Shabbat Tachor Gimel. The Gemara says, Hey Chantivanu, we state that you have to light Hanukkah candles. So the Gemara says, Losasur. So Asher Kiddishan, you have to have a lot of kavana when you make this bracha. Asher kiddushanu mitzvayisa v'tzivanu l'shmoa elachachamim shetzivu osanu l'hadlik ne'er shel chanukah. Don't say that in the middle of the bracha, but just that's in the brackets in the bracha. So that's what the Rishonim write. Rashi writes in Ksubas. That's what's going on in the bracha under the Chuppah also. Asher kiddushanu mitzvayisa v'tzivanu l'arayos, as it says in Pashas Achrim Ha'osin and Pashas Kedoshim of Arayos. V'yosalonu as arusos, as it says in Pashas Shoftim, that we have to listen to the rabbis, and the rabbis told us not to be bala arusos. Don't say that under the Chuppah, but think about it. Okay, beautiful. So that doesn't sound good for Rav Huna. Why? Because if the Yisur Arusa is only midirabanan, then the whole concept of Nisuin maybe was made up by the rabbis. Maybe it's not even a din min haTorah, the concept of Nisuin. But the concept of Nisuin is only a din midirabanan, that doesn't bode well for Rav Huna's kal v'chayim. Rav Huna's trying to derive a Yafusa that Kesef and Chuppah, one can create Nisuin, one can't create Nisuin. If the whole Nisuin, Hakol, Mikol, Kol is only in the Rabbanan, so then what's Rav Huna talking about? Where's Rav Huna coming from? So what's the answer to my dilemma, Rabbi Say?
There's no
Sosu Deraisa. Well, that may be true, but irrelevant to our discussion. It means, let's say I'm trying to learn a Din Hilchos Shabbos, I'm going to learn a Kavachayim from Chos Chanukah. And I'm going to ask, how can you learn the Rabbanan? You're going to tell me the Sosu? So it's not going to help to be the Midas Kavachayim. And what's the answer, everybody say? Nope. I thought it was a good kasha. Who thinks that's a good kasha? Who thinks it's a terrible kasha? It's an awful kasha. You know why it's an awful kasha? Because I pulled the wool right over your eyes. The fact that the Isser to be Bola Rososo is only Dirabonin, Pashtus, like the Rambam says, that doesn't mean that the concept of Nisuin is a derabbanan concept. The concept of Nesu'in is a deraisa concept. There are 1,500, nafkaminas from the din of Nesu'in and deraisa. The Issa to be Baal Arusasa happens not to be one of them. So vis-a-vis the Issa of Bia, that Eris and Nesu'in are the same. Nesu'in doesn't change anything on the level of deraisa. But to say that Nesu'in is not a concept, is not a chalais deraisa, to tell me that Nesu'in doesn't affect changes mid deraisa, that's absurd. Of course Nesu'in creates changes mid deraisa. Now, show me, I'm going to look for dinim deraisa that depend upon the difference between being an arusa and a suah. Don't tell me bia, that's wrong. Paul Arusasa said that they're abonim, the pashas. So tell me some nafkaminis, come on. Look to say to Nashim, tell me some real good nafkaminis, I want some good ones. Oh, now we're talking, right? Let's find some real nafkaminas, right? Let's hear them. So Mr. Alter says, give me a few of them, right? Knock off a few. Let's give me one at a time.
Yerusha.
Gavaldik, right? Yerusha. Ooh, that's a nafkamina, right? Because after all, a baal is yerush as ishtai. So a baal is yerush as ishtai. So the Gemara says a baal is only yerush as ishtai. When what? After nisuin, not after kedushin. Well, how does Chazal figure that one out? How does the Torah formulate the din of Yerush as a Baal? What term does the Torah use to describing Yerush a wife? It doesn't say Yerush Ishtai. What does it say? Anyone learn today's parable of Basra? She'erai. The Torah uses the word She'er. What's a She'er? What does the word She'er mean? It means closeness of body. Like Ishish are called She'er Besarai. After the point of Kedushin, she's considered to be Ishtai, but Nishken She'erai. You only become a She'er when they're moving together, when they're living together, and they're living Ishvi Ishtai physically. That's the moment in time when the woman is transformed from being just merely Ishtai to being She'er. Vis-a-vis the din of Eishas Isha Zinsa, this is Blaipten Eishas Isha Zinsa from the moment of Kedushin. Because the moment of Kedushin, it's called Ish Kiyinaf as Eishas Ish. It's called an Eishas Ish. She's a full-fledged Eishas Ish from the moment of Kedushin. Ishta, yeah, but She'er on this. She'er kicks in at the time of Nisuit. So that's a good enough community deraisa. Now we're talking. Maybe we're talking. Why? Because half the Rishonim hold that Yerusha Sabal is only with the Rabbanan anyway. The whole Pasuk is Asmachta. So, okay, but we'll give it to Alter on that one. Okay, who's got another one? What? Ooh, now we're talking. There's a different onesh for Eishas Ish. Well, not always, but sometimes, depending on whether she's a what? If she's a Naira Hama'orasa, if she's only an Arusa, then she gets Skila, and if she's a Naira Acharedisuin, then she gets Chenek. Okay, that's already enough, Kabir. That's a good one, yeah. Nadarim is not a bad one, right? Because Kozman that she's an Arusa, so the Baal's not Mefer, unless it's Naira Hama'orasa together with the father. In Beis Yishon Nadara, right, then she becomes a nichnas el shusai. So then the suin changes everything with the rice. So we got a couple of her. Tuma maybe, a kohen with talmid. We got a bunch of them. So even though Yerusha may be good according to some Rishonim, we got a few that are good l'chol adayah. So we're fairly confident with this assumption that Nisuin is a din deraisa, and therefore Rav Huna is back in business. So it's kind of chum. Again, we may have a lot of other problems. We may have pirchas and pirchas and pirchas, but those kind of stuff may come in as the sugya continues. But at least the basic format, the basic tzura of kedushin being deraisa, Nisuin being deraisa, we're okay with that. Whether Yerusha does the trick or not, we're not sure, but we have a concept of Nisuin deraisa. Anyone just have a pasuk in Chumash that's from black and white? Not in the halachic context. There's a pasuk in Chumash, mamish black and white. It talks about Eris and Nisuin. Yeah, what does it say? Umiha'ish, Asher Eras, Ishav, Alola Kacha. So the pasuk says he was Ma'arisar, but he didn't take her yet. What do the words mean? What do you mean he was Ma'arisar, didn't take her yet? Obviously, it means that he was Makadishar, wasn't no say her yet. There's no question that Midarais has a concept of Nisuin. Good, so Rav Huna's back on business. So come to Rishayim on the spot in Rav Huna and say, there's a big, big problem with Rav Huna's Kavachemer, and it's ultimately a problem that can undermine any Kavachemer. It's a three-letter word. What is it? What is it? Dio. Okay? Dio. Dio. Die must speak. It's enough. What's this Dio? So we spoke a little bit about Dio in the past. A couple of weeks ago we spoke about, did we mention Dio? I forgot what we mentioned. We mentioned Dio recently. The famous Machlaikas at Tarav between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. This ended the second Brechman, second Babakam, just Chazah for a second. What was the Machlaikas about? Who remembers? Quickly. What's the Machlaikas? Karen Bishus HaNizuk, right? What's the din? If my ox goes walking, barges into your backyard and gores your ox in your backyard. So the Rabbanan said, well, but the first three times, it's chatzin nezek, u'mochas ha-shachai, v'chatzis kaspai, keren b'shus haram, keren b'shus, it's all the same thing, said the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Tarfon, the Halakha Tanna, Rabbi Tarfon comes with a tremendous chiddush, comes Rabbi Tarfon and says, no, keren b'shus ha-nizak pays nezek shalem. What's the nezek? What's nezek shalem? Even the first time. Wait, it says the chumash, shatam pays chatzin nezek, where the nezek shalem come from? Tavachanim. Madach, help me through this one. Madach shein v'regel, when an animal either tramples or an animal eats, vicious harabit, you pay absolutely what? Zero, because it says it'll be a biste achir, lamait, vicious harabim, and afa pichain, you pay vicious hanizak, how much? Nezak shalom, as it says in the Chumash, kiyav ishta de acherim, vishilach, as beiro, shilach means regel, ubir means chain, that's the first thing is in Babakama, meitav sadeh, meitav kam yishalit. So you pay full nezak, but it has to be biste achir, lafuke, vicious harabim. Good. So shain v'regel, a potter vicious harabim, pay nezak shalom, vicious hanizak. Keren, which pays chatzi nezek in the rishis haram, so you see that keren is more chamer than shein v'regel. How much more so it should pay nezek shalom in the rishis hanizek? That was a retired friend's kavachomer. To which the rabbanon responded logically, the kavachomer is valid, but it is bumped away by the halachic principle called dayo, which the rabbanon learned out from psukim. That dayo puts the brakes on the kavachomer. And you can't have that which you're learning any more chomer than that which you're learning from. And therefore, since you're trying to learn from chatzi nezek of rishus harabim, you can't get more chomer, you can't pay a penny more than that which you're learning from. And therefore, the rabbanim say, we're sorry, Rabbi Tarfon, but daya levam in adin liyos kididon. That's the sugya da, the famous machlokes at the end of the second paragraph of the Kama. So, Kum Taisus in that sugya says, this Tavachemi Rabuna is a flagrant violation of daya. The whole chuppah being kaina is from the fact that chuppah is gemeres. That means chuppah can accomplish nisuin. What does that mean? It's gemeres. Gemeres, there's an assumption to the word gemeres. What does gemeres mean? That something else what? Started it, something else preceded it. What was that something else? Must have been kesef, a shtar, or must have been some kind of a condition. So fractoises, we don't have a name of Daiwas of Dina, to Mehechemaises, to Chuppakain, and Mishum de Gemeres, Dailabam and Dinlias, can you do it? Malahal and Acha Kesef, Afkan Liacha Kesef. If your whole Koyach of Chuppah to be Kaina is derived from Chuppah, which is Gemeres, and Chuppah, which is Gemeres, by definition means there was Kesef Kaidem, or Kesef Shtar Kaidem, so too, Chuppah should be Kaina if there was what? If there was Kesef Kodem, which would be pretty silly, because if there was already Kesef Kona, I'm sorry, Kesef Kodem, then what? Well, you already need Chuppah to be Kona for Kedushin, which is already Mikudashis. So Tosfos says, Dayo should take this Kavachomer and throw it out the window. That should be the ultimate refutation of Ravunas Kavachomer, and there's not a mention, not a boo, not a whimper, not a nothing in the Sugya, whole Lama de Gemar, not a word about Dayo. So Taisa says, Zetman from da, there's only one way out of this problem. So Taisa, what's the answer? What's the solution? B'yesh loymer da'asik Rabbi Tarfon. Must be that the sugya is fine with Rabbi Tarfon. Must be. Rav Huna must be a Talmud of Rabbi Tarfon. I mean, not exactly a Talmud. Rav Huna was an Amoyer, was a Talmud of Rav. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Danossi. Rabbi Danossi was Rabbi Tarfon was a contemporary of Rabbi Kivi. It took 150 years later. It must be Rav Huna was going to beshit this Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Tarfon holds that dayo doesn't always work. Rabbi Tarfon has a unique understanding of dayo. Rabbi Tarfon says that if dayo is going to destroy the kavachomer entirely, then dayo loses. Dayo can only work in very limited circumstances. Even Rabbi Tarfon buys into dayo. Dayo is deraisa. Dayo is learned from Sukkim. Rabbi Tarfon has a very unique way of learning dayo, which basically translates to mean if the kavachomer goes up in smoke, then dayo fails. Dayo is thrown out of the picture. So comes Tyson says, if you're going to stick dayo into this equation, you're going to end up with what? With a worthless kavachomer, meaningless kavachomer. If you go down the root of dayo, so you end up with this gevalt kechidish, that chuppah, yeah, kedushin can be kaina, kedushin can be kaina, provided there was a ring given before and that you said a rebbe kedushin, ashkoch, such kavachomers, who needs kashas? But that's not a kavachomer thing, it's going to get you nowhere fast. So says Tyson, kachomer akusha, Rav Huna must be from the school of thought of Rabbi Tarfon. Where does that bode for Rav Huna in terms of Psach Halacha? If you go down the root of Rav Taisus, we're jumping ahead a little bit because we don't know how to pass, but we're not sure what Rav Huna is. But at some point in the sugya, hopefully we're going to decide whether we should follow Rav Huna or not. Where do you think this puts Rav Huna in the world of Psach Halacha? In a very poor place, because Rav Tarfon was not the accepted view of Baba Kama. Rav Tarfon took on all the Chachamim. Tarfon was a great, great, great Hail Gitana, Rav Tarfon. He was also, he had, like, Rav Tarfon had, anyone like collect some of the statements of Rav Tarfon and Shas? He had like a very, very, almost like a dramatic way of speaking. He must have been a really great Rashi, like a great Magachir. Because if you look at some of the things that Rav Tarfon says, they're like, fantastic. You know what I'm talking about? No. No one knows what I'm talking about? You have to collect a few statements of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, there's a big machlokes in the first back of Yevamos about a certain shiloh, whether you're allowed to marry a certain woman or not. So that's a das, whole story. So Rabbi Tarfon says, if this girl would come to me, I would marry her. Exciting way, like dramatic way of talking. What does the Mishnah say at the beginning of Maseches Brachos? Machlokes b'sham and b'silo. So what does Rabbi Tarfon say? He says, I did it myself. I went and followed Bisham Ashita.
And my mom's
there. Okay, yeah, he had a lot of very dramatic stuff, and the way he presented it is very, very colorful. Tahir.
Was later there,
Bruno?
What? Later there?
He was about 150 years before. He was Dana. He was in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva on that Seder night. Right? Rav Huna even, wasn't even a thought.
So
Rav Huna.
What?
He held like a sheet. Rav Huna followed Rabbi Tarfon. Allah halacha, the heilige heilige tana Rabbi Tarfon, but it's not gonna get us anywhere. Yeah, the end. The Gemara is going to talk about whether the Kavachom is going to fail on other grounds, because how can you compare Gemara to Tchila? Right, that's true. But Taisa says the Kavachom didn't even get off the ground according to the Rabban Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabban Rabbi Tarfon will look at this Gemara and say, scratch it. Let's go to the next one again. Oh, you mean maybe there's another source for Rav Huna? Maybe it's not even a dayo. Maybe it's not even a kavacham altogether. So we're asking?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting it. So again, the way Taisus presents the sugya, if you're going down the route of kavachomer, the kavachomer is very nice and beautiful kavachomer, but not correct. La halacha can't be correct, la halacha, because Rav Huna has to fall into every tarfon's camp. Could we possibly salvage Rav Huna and salvage the kavachomer? So the only way to do that, if you don't want to put Rav Huna into the hilchos tana of tarfon's camp, but you have to explain away why somehow Dayo is not relevant in the sugya. I didn't say it's going to be easy to do that, but you have to do a little bit of work to try to figure out what is it about this Kavachomer that somehow addressed, but somehow Dayo is not the problem with this Kavachomer. Dayo somehow doesn't belong in this sugya. So on the Maamar Kremis, which I made a mistake on, there were one or two mistakes. The mistakes were the Shitasi. Because I put a Taisa Rush, there were two Dibra Maschals with the same. That's what, there were two Dibra Maschals.
So,
yeah. So I think they printed out wrong. So there was a double mistake, if anyone was following what was going on. But let's see if we can find the correct Taisa Rush. We may have it in the Gemara, actually. In the Tosfei Tosafim. What did we do before they put in the Taisa Rushes in the back of the Gemara? Ready? We can do another Sefer. What do we get it? See if we can find it. Well, let's see what we got here. So it's the Taisa Rush of Hamad Beis. Those who have in the back of the Gemaras. It's Divrei Maaseh Chupashe Gemaras. And that was one that was not on the Maamar Kremis?
Yeah.
Right? Was on or not?
It wasn't.
Okay. So Taisus HaRosh has the same exact kash as Taisus. Hadichle Rabbi the Leisle Dayo, Hechim Nevkach Mal Rabban and Kosher, V'yesh Loma Zach Taisus HaRosh, the Leishayach Loma Dayo, Ela Kesheha Lomeid Hu Me'ein HaMalameid. Going Gabi Shem V'Rav Pek Tzareh. Here's another example, leave that out. Aval Hocha Sheha Lomeid Hu Kedei Liknois, Does the Rush is telling us a yesoid in Hilchos Dayel, and that's the principle of the arise of Dayel. Sometimes the Rosh Dayel makes sense when the Melamed and the Lamed are basically trying to accomplish the same type of result. The Melamed here, starting from Chuppah, the Lamed starting from Chuppah of Nisuin, the Lamed is the Kedushin. But Medra Ruhim Dayel makes sense when that which you're trying to learn from where you're trying to learn it from are basically talking the same language. You're basically trying to accomplish the same thing. Then the halacha says you're trying to learn B from A, and B and A are the same team, it's the same league, and you're going to turn around and say B is more common than A. It's madna. That doesn't make sense. That's what the Torah puts the brakes down on. So the marshal, the case of we're trying to learn ultimately from Karen Vishus Arabim through the Kavachayim through Shein to Karen Vishus Ayochid. So we're trying to say this is $50 and this should end up being $100. So the Rabbanan turns around to Bitashin and says, how can Karen Vishus Ayochid that's being derived from Karen Vishus Arabim, how can it be Mohammed? The Tashlumin of $50, the Tashlumin of $100, it's the same kind of Tashlumin. What's the difference when you're paying $50? It's a quantitative difference. It's not a qualitative difference. It's not a different area of halacha. $50, $100, it's all the same. It's all the same money. It's a couple more bills that are thrown into the... But it's fundamentally the same. So if you're trying to learn out two dinim, one from another, and they're fundamentally speaking the same language, and you want that which you're deriving to be Muhammad and that where you're deriving from, that's what Dayel speaks to. But says the Tzitzit Rosh, when what you're trying to accomplish is so radically different, you're trying to create something that's not even related to the first din. You're using Kal V'Chomer in a very fancy way, where you're trying to create a qualitatively different din, not a quantitatively different din, a qualitatively different din. That's not Dayel. That's a Kal V'Chomer. That's not the Parsha of Dayel. Says the Tzitzit Rosh, when you're going from Nisuin to Kedushin, it may look like the same chuppah, same poles, same little flowers on top, same talus on top. Looks the same superficially, but not really. Because this chuppah is accomplishing what? The chuppah that you're learning from is creating a chaleis of Nisuin, whereas this chuppah you want to use to create a chaleis of Kedushin. Nisuin and Kedushin are not the same thing. They are not at all the same thing. One's a din that creates a shame, a shazish, creates a nechi of a misa from a sinah, creates from zeirus, requires a get, that's kedushin. Nisuin's a different chalos. Nisuin is there yerusha, is it not yerusha? Is there tumas abal, is it not tumas abal? Is there ksub? It's a different chalos, it's a different area of halacha. I mean, they both say the noshim, but they don't know each other. So comes to the Rosh and says, when the difference is so blatant, it's a qualitatively different halacha, that's not the parish of Dayo. The Chal Dayo never speaks to such a case.
You make the same argument and say it also hurts the concept of Kal V'Chomer.
You mean, oh, so with all this, wait a second, if you're trying to create a different halacha lagamri, who says you have a right to use Kal V'Chomer altogether? So who says you have a right? Tazer Rosh says you have a right. Tazer Rosh says that when you're changing something qualitatively, you could use Kal V'Chomer and you're not even subject to Dayo. Dayo is only when it's qualitatively identical. That's the Zosh Teit in Tazer Rosh. Gevald Kechidish. Apparently Tosis didn't believe that. The fact that this is quantitatively, from 50 to 100 is quantitative, and from Kedushin to Nisuin, or Nisuin to Kedushin is qualitative, Tosis didn't think that made the slightest bit of difference. I don't think Tosis disagreed with the facts. Tosis also would agree this is quantitative, this is qualitative. So what? Tosis, true but irrelevant. And it doesn't rush to know. It's true but very relevant. Yeah, it's very different. It's a different chalois.
I don't see that. I don't necessarily see the parallel between chuppah working from Nisuin versus Kedushin.
It's not parallel. It's not all parallel. That's exactly the point.
No, I'm saying, but in the sense that the chuppah is the driving force in both cases.
But it's creating a different chalois.
It's
a different chalois. You must be a ben achaben of the Balia Taisvus, not a Taisa Rush. Can't see the difference. I don't know. I don't know where, whatever it came. Okay, but tachlis, maybe one of your great grands, you know, grandparents snuck into yeshivas in France at one point. Okay? But Rabbi Isai, Taisa Rosh is making a point, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, I think it's clear that there is a difference, qualitative versus quantitative. Maybe it's not relevant, but I think it is a difference. The test case to whether Taisa Rosh is right would be to go back to the original Dayo. What was the original Dayo? It was Miriam. Now, it's a very hot test case because it was almost like a historical story. It wasn't even really like a halacha. The original Dayo, as the Torah's kind of begins, Bidin Kavachem Akeitz, what's the mocha for Kavachem in the Torah? V'yavia yarok yarok fanel osik aleim shivas yomim. So what did the Rebbe Shalom say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, Miriam just got sarah, so she was just, in a sense, embarrassed and insulted by the Rebbe Shalom. The Rebbe Shalom just gave her a slap. Right? He spit it up her. So we're trying to figure out now, how long is appropriate for Miriam to be expelled? How long should she be out of the machaneh? So the Rebbe Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a very poetic description. Via Yarok Yakovina, if her father, Boss of Adam, would have spouted her, hello Sikolim Shivas Yavim. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, you would have understood if she was a little girl and misbehaving and Amram, you know, punished her, you would understand she'd be go to her room for a week. That you would understand. Maybe Yarok, hello Sikolim Shivas Yavim. That you could buy, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, I remember we were all little kids, you know, I remember that happened. Via Yarok, I understand that. So the Rebbeinu Shem is about to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kal v'achoymer, ich bin Avinu Maken, I'm the Rebbeinu Shalom. So I just insulted her, I just banished her. We're expecting a real whopper for Kal v'achoymer. Your father throws, he gets upset at you. You have to hang out in your room for 7 days, you can't see him. It should be 14 days at least, right? 14 days. And we state in the Pasuk, it's only 7 days. What is the Rabbanan see from here? Dayo. That's Mamish Dayo. It's a mind-boggling. If Chazal wouldn't have said it in a million years, I wouldn't have seen Dayo here. It's a Chazal, but Chazal, not Chazal. Chazal saw in this parasha of Miriam, the response of the Rabbanan to Moshe Rabbeinu about Miriam, a din l'deiris, it's because of this parasha that the din of Chatzi Nezek in Karen B'Shez Yachin remains Chatzi Nezek. And Rabbi Tarfon and Baba Kama has to explain the way these took him a little bit differently. Yeah.
I just want to get that for that particular Gemara because by working out Karen, we have a fixed amount of Nezek Shalim that we can learn from. Maybe if it's AC 14 over just one more day.
Oh, so you're asking another Kasha. The Gemara is very, very misleading. The Gemara says that, well, if not for Dayo, what would the din have been? Imagine if the Rebbe Shalom didn't say Dayo at the end. So I would have said, V'yavia yirok yirakavad alosik aleim shivas yomim. And if the Rebbe Shalom insults her, she should be out for 14 days. That's what it should have said, right? Where did the magic number 14 go? Where did 14 go? So Tosfos tries to quote Yepshat, what 14, because Gimel Shutrim B'Yadam, that the Rebbe Shalom puts Kedek. The Neshama, okay? So it tries to explain away where the magic number. The Emes is, I'm not sure where the magic number 14 is at some point, but more than 7. That should have been.
I would say the reason doesn't work there is because like, we have no other number published.
But it can't be 7, it's got to be 8, it's got to be 8 plus, it's got to be 8 or something. Okay, should be something, but it's not. It's 7 on the dot. A shkia comes back. Right? So I ask you, Rabbi Isai, the difference between the 7 days and the imaginary 14 days that don't exist at the end because of Dayo, what kind of a din would that 14 days have been? Being banished from the Rebbeinu Shalom for 14 days. I'm going to the world of, I don't know what to call it, it's like a world of make-believe. It's a make-believe, not even a halacha. It's a make-believe of a story. But the world that never happened. But if not for the fact that the Rebbe Shalom stopped the dead in its tracks and says, only 7 days and no more, no less, I would have envisioned the Havim. The Havim Meshumim. Meshumim is about to tell Miriam, you got to stay put for 14 days, or 7 days plus a minute, or 8 days, or 39 days. I don't know, you make up whatever number you want. We'll go with Chazal's 14 days. Good, 14 days. So this imaginary reality, she should have been banished for 14 days. What kind of a din would that have been vis-a-vis the 7 days that Halosi Kolim Shivas Yom for the father? Would that have been a qualitative difference or a quantitative difference? Quantitative. What's the difference? Right? So she's banished. She's banished. This is 7 days. This is 14. What's the difference? 7 days, 14 days, 7 days, 7 days in a minute, 7 days in 2 minutes, 7 days in 20 minutes, 18 days, 175 days. It's all the same thing. So maybe that's what it says. He says, go look at the original source. The original source. This whole diet was such a chiddush in a billion years. Not just 14 days, in a billion years I wouldn't figure this out on my own. The Dayo only makes sense when quantitatively the dinim are the same. So I'll share with you a story. that happened, a very, very tragic story. Happened in the Middle Ages. Had a very, very famous personality. Rabbeinu Gershom or HaGoyla. He's known to us for many things. He's one of my Dechayim to Rabbeinu Gershom. And he was a, I don't know who his, he was a Rebbe of. Was it Rashi's Rebbe? He was a Rebbe of Rashi's Rebbeim. Okay, so you're talking about, you know, he figured out how to read the Gemara without Rashi. So he was a Rebbe of Rashi's Rebbeim. Okay, so a good portion, a significant portion of Rashi's, the entire Messiah of Rashi and the Baal HaTosfos ultimately came through him. He was the leading, you know, figure in Ashkenazi Jewry in the 900s, early 1000s. Unfortunately, Rabbeinu Gershom had a very, very tragic personal life. One of the tragedies that happened to Rabbeinu Gershom is that one of his children became a mishumad. And became, again, it's not, I don't know all the background in terms of the history, whether it was forced baptized, or I don't want to say anything one way or the other, so I think different versions of that, whatever, but tachlis, he became another religion, converted to another religion. And one needless to say how Rabbeinu Gershom was, felt about this. And there's a tradition in the Rishonim, the Mordechai Maseches Maikotan quotes a tradition from the Rishonim. Mordechai was already several generations after Rabbeinu Gershom, but he quotes a tradition way back, several generations back, that Rabbeinu Gershom observed 14 days of Avelos for this son. He observed a double Shiva for this son who became a Meshumad. And the explanation that was attributed to Rabbeinu Gershom as to why he did that was he quoted the Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma. What does the Gemara Bava Kamma say? That the relationship between a father and a child is one level of relationship, but the relationship between the Rabbeinu Shalom and the child is how much? How much? It's double. Right? Double. So Madach says, Rabbeinu Gershom Kavachomer, Madach Nebuch, when you sit Shiva for a son who was physically taken, so you sit 7 days. When someone is spiritually gone, someone spiritually dies, they die to the Rabbeinu Shalom, so to speak, how much more so low it should be 14 days, and as Zoshtet, he observed 14 days of Shiva. Zoshtet in Rishonim, Mordechai Moikotan, quotes from his Rebbeim, who had a tradition that that's what happened in the days of Rabbeinu Gershom. It was their 14 days of Shiva. What's the kasha? That was the Havamin. What kind of din is this? Rabbeinu Gershom came with a new din? A new din that when somebody becomes a Meshumad, you have to say 14 days of Shiva. What happened to Dayo? Now again, if you understand that the whole story was not a halachic story, and it was just, he was such agitated, he just, you know, almost like quoted this Gemara like in agony. Okay, if you take that approach, that there was nothing halachic per se going on in this statement of Rabbeinu Gershom, okay, Zolzayin. That's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say that you can't make any rise from the story. The story wasn't meant to be a halachic story. But others were type of bother with this kasha. How can it be? The whole source, he's Rabbeinu Gershom is quoting the Gemara Bava Kamma, and that's exactly what the Gemara Bava Kamma says, Dayo. So there are two different versions within the Rishonim as to what do those words mean, Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva. When did that sitting Shiva take place? So there are two different versions in the Rishonim. One version of the Rishonim is, when his son died, he sat Shiva for 14 days. That's one version of the Rishonim. And the other version of the Rishonim is what? When he became a Meshumad, he sat Shiva for 14 days. Two different versions of the story. Two different historical records of what happened hundreds of years earlier. Manafkamina, so to speak. Halacha, what's the difference between the two? So some suggest that the difference is as follows. If Rabbeinu Gershom is observing Shiva for 14 days upon the death of his son, so he's basically extending the din of Shiva. That means when a person dies in Gashmius, a person dies in Olam Hazeh, they die to their Nebuch, to their biological relatives, so then there's a din of 7 days, quantitative. And when they die, so to speak, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, so then we're going to add on 14 days. But it's the same din. It's basically another din of sitting Shiva. It's a din of shivishim avelos. It's a din of shivishim avelos and yudal in 14 days of avelos, but it's fundamentally the same halacha. That's if you understand it, that he sat shiva upon the death of his child. But if he observed the 14 days of avelos upon his child becoming a meshumud, that's a different story. That doesn't have to do with death. That's not your dechel gimel. That's a different partial gamre. Abazoi, if it's a different partial gamre, what may fall by the wayside, Rabbi say? Dayo may fall by the way. If something is radically different, it's a different halacha. Just as the Taz of Rosh and Asugi says, when you're switching teams from Nisuin to Kedushin, you're in different realms, different worlds. When you're in different worlds, that's not Dayo. Dayo is only when you're in the same Daladams, in the same qualitative world. So Kolzman, the Rabbeinu Gershom, was observing Avelos, going from 7 to 14 for the death of his son. So Taka is a Shtaka Kasha, Dayo. But if the version of the story of Rabbeinu Gershom is he's observing the quote-unquote shiva, the 14 days, upon the meshuvedness of the son, not that. It's a different halacha legamrei. Different halacha legamrei, it's not limited by dayo. Suggestion, again, it could be the whole kushim and karleis, it could be the whole story was not meant in a pure halachic sense, it was just the total agony of Rabbeinu Gershom. But if you want to put a halachic spin on the story, so then it makes sense according to this board of the Taz of Rosh. No, not necessarily. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Can we suggest that Dio is only limited to ownership and avoid a lot of issues? Because, like, in the case of Nezikin and the case here, both of them are ownership, but, like, the case over here, the ownership has an ownership part to do as well.
Onesh. That's a very tricky statement. That the paying of Nezek is an onesh? I mean, because you want to say because it's knas. Because it's a knas, and therefore it's the Torah's onesh. Well, we got a little. Who's coming back for the Shabbat 2 years? So if you're still around 2 years from now, Dr. Berman will be around 2 years from now, okay? So, Mr. Shemma, it should be well. So we have to come back to that, whether that's a good time or not. The problem is the Gemara uses dayo and things which have nothing to do with onesh also. In Hukas Tuma, the Gemara uses it also. The Gemara has a half a dozen sugis in Mevakama about by Tuma Zav and Tuma's Meis, things which have nothing to do with onesh. That's not you mean the whole thing is in there, but yeah, okay, maybe again, there may be a lot of answers to the game, but yeah, it's a thought. So once again, getting back to our story. So we're trying to salvage, we're doing our best, we're bending over back to save Rahuna, because we love Rabbi Tarfon, but we don't want Rahuna to be in Rabbi Tarfon's camp, because then he's going to end up nowhere lahalacha. So we're trying to circumvent the dayo problem. Taisa said you can't, and you're stuck and finished, and Rahuna and Rabbi Tarfon the same team, and we're trying to suggest, Taisa Rush trying to suggest that maybe there's a difference. Rabbi said, are there any other ways to perhaps almost get around dayo? So there's another Tysus that was also a mistake on the Mamakramas. We made a couple of boobos. It was all part of the same Lashitaseinu mistake. But there's a Tysus on the Fiyad Amadeis where there were two Dibri Maskels, which are the identical Dibri Maskel. Of course, the one that was printed out was the one that I didn't want. So let's do the one that.
I thought mine was three.
That was your mistake. Okay.
It's also okay. I thought I meant third Tysus.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually in the third.
So you read too much lump to cut down the lump or something.
I didn't want to write.
Okay, let's go back. Doesn't matter whose mistake it was. All's well that ends well. We still bakshim, still have Gemaras. For those who bring Gemaras this year, hopefully everybody. Gemaras trying a kalva chomer. What a kalva chomer. What a whopper of a kalva chomer here. And the Vietnam of the days, kvar shalach yechel bin bagbag, eitz of Yudim b'seil bin etzivin. Heligatanoim, we're fighting about the following Shaila. Shemati Alecha, the Gemara says, Shata Oime Arusabas Yisrael Achelas Betruma. That Yechlim in Bagbag sent a letter to Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira that I heard rumors that where you live in Netzivin, I heard these rumors that you think that an Arus is Ladi Truma. Never heard it, that you think an Arus is Ladi Truma. So what did he respond? What did Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira respond back to him? I thought that you're such a Tamil Chacham, it's a Boki Bechedri Torah, and all the inner rooms, inner sanctums, chambers of the Torah. You don't know how to dash in the Kavachimer. Don't you know the Kavachimer? It's Kavachimer. If you boil a Shifa Kenainis, first of all, Sin of Eira. Second of all, a little malav lemei. What is how can it help her eating truma? But kasma machlos b'truma. But if you buy her with kesef, the kohen buys a shemkanai, she can eat truma. So you see the kesef is greater than bia. Zu shabi hasa machlos b'truma. You agree that a regular bas yisrael, if you buy leha, she can eat truma. I.e., if you know say her and you have an assume with her and she married to you, she can eat truma. In a din she kasma machlos b'truma. Does that mean from da that kesef should be greater than bia? Wow, what a kavachayim! So you got these corresponding, got these, you know, Pony Express going back between Yechim and Bagbag and Rebbe Ben Beseira, back and forth messages. Is a good kavachim, not a good kavachim. The whole sugya in the Gemara. What was the kavachim again? Madach. That what? Kesef by Shivcha is what? Is Einar Machil. I'm sorry. I'll be around. Bia. I'm sorry. Bia. Bia by Shivcha. I guess I'm not a Baki Bechedri HaTorah, but just Kavachim. I can't even remember the Kavachim. So Bia B'Shivcha Zeinu Ma'achil, but Kesef Shivcha is Ma'achil. So a regular Bas Yisrael, who what? Let's start with the regular Bas Yisrael. That Bia B'Bas Yisrael is Ma'achil. So you see, she's better than Shivcha, so Kavachaymer, the Kesef should be as well. Right? That's what we're trying to accomplish. Kesef should be Macha. That was the Kavachaymer. What do you think about this Kavachaymer? I don't like this Kavachaymer. You know why I don't like this Kavachaymer? We're trying to learn out from Bia B'Bas Yisrael that's Machil. What's the case of Bia B'Bas Yisrael that's Machil? Just Bia, just like that. Guys, Mazana, Mazana with B'Bas Yisrael, she eats Truma. It's absurd. What does it mean? So it means they're living happily, husband and wife, 20 years. So she eats truma. What's the problem? Kesef is without nisuin. So you're trying to learn a kesef without nisuin from a bia with nisuin? That smacks of what? V'im taimar, as frek taisvis, the name of Dayo. Back to our good friend Dayo. A bia after chuppah is koyach is koyne. Good, is machal betruma. Gevaldik. What do you do? A bia after chuppah is machal betruma. You want to derive a kesef? Bali chuppah. Shemati alech shta loy aimer arusa bas Yisrael echelos betruma. What are you kidding? Arusa bas Yisrael. Bali chuppah. How can a bia itochin the work of that? What's does the kavachaim? It's shkin kavachaim. But I'm the dayo. So not a big surprise. What does Taisa say? Piyei Shlomo what? Hokasavik Rabbi Taifim. Rabbi Taifim, whenever we want him, we bring him back. Halakha Rabbi Taifim. Savik Rabbi Taifim. But, Kum Taisis, another territory, Rabbeinu Shimshon Mikutzi Tirates. Who's the famous Rabbeinu Shimshon Mikutzi? Who was he? Who's he known by the Rishonim as? They didn't call him the Shimshon Mikutzi. They called him the Sar Mikutzi. Why did they call him the Sar Mikutzi? Because otherwise they would have called him the Rash Mikutzi. He'd been a Shimshon, and Rash means the poor man. So whether he was poor or not, I can't tell you. So they didn't want to call him poor. It's not a nice thing to say. So they flipped the letter, called him the Sar. He's the mayor of Kutzi. He's the master, the officer of Kutzi. He's not the poor man from Kutzi. That's the Pashta Dvarim. So who disagreed with what I just said? He had Rash Mishnayos, I guess he was poor. Okay. Let's see. It cost a lot of money to write all those little Perishim Mishnayos. No, who disagrees with what I just said? What? Oh, there we go. Marcus Lehmann, right? No? Marcus Lehmann, so he was a rabbi in Germany in the 1800s. So he was the first, he was a pre-art scroll writer of novels for young boys. So he put out all these beautiful, wild, you know, adventure stories to keep the kids, you know, from in the 1800s. So he wrote Mishnah novels that were translated into English later. So he wrote The Count of Kutzi. So he wrote a whole crazy story about the Tsar Mikutzi, that he was a Tsar, he was a nobleman, and he got Richard the Lionheart with the Crusades. Oh, Chagaja, Mamish, Dvorim, Mamish, Yesh Me'ayin, a whole story about the Tsar Mikutzi. Gavaldik, how do I know that? Because it used to be it was one of the required readings to be a Pirchei leader or something when I was like a teenager. So I had to read the story to all the little kids in the Agizel Riverdale. That was what we did Shal Shoda, so it took us like weeks. We finished the whole story of the Tsar Mikutzi. And when I got a little older, I realized it was Lahoyed Vamil. Anyway, but so Ben Shimshon Mikutzi, T rates, whether he was a count and he fought Richard Lionheart in the Crusades, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that he gave a good territory. Rabbi Shimshon Mikutzi writes, "The Leah Min and Dayo, Elahecha the boy lemeba din chadash. So in Hossam, Yom HaKerbish is Ram Chati Nezek, but Tabalim Bo Nezek Sholim Mekavachem Dishen Verega. Aval Hocha, the Rachmada Amakinin Kesef Oicha. The Einon who boy Lumon Mekavachem El Amal Kinin Kesef. Bishtek was the same Kutsi just said. It says, Dayo means you're trying to create something that doesn't exist yet. We have no idea how much money to pay in Cambridge or Sayochid. There's no pasuk about it. There's no indication. We are groping in the dark. Me and Rabbi Tarfon, the Rabbanu Rabbi Tarfon, trying to figure out what is the din. We have no idea. As I state, Dayo. We have no idea how many days you should be thrown out, banished from the Rabbanu Shalom if he yells at you. We have no idea. Dayo. Over here, we have something to start with already. We know in tradition of Yudah Rebbeis that the criteria to eat petruma are very simple. What is it? What's the word that determines whether you eat truma or not? Are you a kinyan or the kinyan or not? That's all that matters. The word kaspo probably is not as important. The word kinyan. Did the kinyan undergo a kinyan with you or not? That's all I want to know. Now, kinyan can mean a lot of things. Did the Kohen do kiddushim with you? Did he do nisum with you? Did he do chalip with you? Did he do a kinyan chazok with you? I have no idea. You are shifcha kinyanis of the Kohen. What kinyan did he do? Did he do kesef? Did he do chalip? Did he do? I don't know. Let's figure it out. What is the kinyan that the Torah is referring to? It's there already. The model is there. The model of kinyan kaspo is there. We're just trying to figure out the details. Who is kinyan kaspo? Who's not? Zuck, the Samikutzi, that's not the parish of Dayo. Dayo means you're trying to create something Yeshmi. I don't know, the Torah doesn't say what the Pen Kamish is a Yochid. So we're trying to use a Kavachayma, you're stuck with Dayo. When the facts are there, we're just trying to figure out whether or not this particular case is in that pre existing halakha category. That's not Dayo, Bachlau. Zok, again, Tosis obviously didn't buy into that because Tosis said it's like where we tire from. The Sami Kutzi is our state. The Kutzi, that's what they said. Kum to Pirei Yeshua and Aslugi and says this Sami Kutzi is going to solve Tosis' dilemma here on Daf Hei also. We're trying to figure out how to create the Chalois of Kedusha. We're not in the dark. The Torah has what to say about this. The Torah says what? Ki what? Ki yikach ishisha. The problem is it doesn't say what the kiyikach is. So we have to go knock our heads against the wall, use the Torah Shabbat pad to figure out what is the kiyikach of the Chumash. So Baruch Hashem, we came up with three ideas. Kesef, how do we figure out the kesef? Like Zerah Shavah, did that? Thus is kiyikach. How do we figure out that shtar is kiyikach? Because V'yotzev Ha'is is begalot to be shtar is also kiyikach. And how do we know B is kiyikach? Because it says V'Allah. So Baruch Hashem, we succeeded three for three. We figured out what the Kavanah Satayr is in kiyikach Yishisha. And Kum Tav Hunan says, guess what? I found another one. I found the fourth one. What is it? Chuppah. How did I do that? Because I have a Kavachomer. You dare and ask me, Dayo? Dayo? What's Dayo? What's that doing with me? It's not Dayo. I have a pre-existing statement in the Torah called Tiyikach. I'm just trying to figure out who fits the box. So the Sami Kutziyat Kezokhtim, you know my base. That's not Dayo. According to the Pnei Yeshua, do we understand why Tosfos didn't go down that route? Why Tosfos and Daf Hei did commit Rav Huna to Rabbi Tarfon and says, in effect, if you accept Daya, Rav Huna goes by the wayside? Why did Tosfos not go down the route of the Samikutzi? Tosfos l'shitasam. Because Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Yudam Abayis in the first Teretz didn't quote the Samikutzi. The same way Tosfos and Daf Hei Amid Aleph falls back on Rabbi Tarfon, Tosfos in the first Teretz in Yudam Abayis also falls back on Rabbi Tarfon. There's a fundamental machlekes to the two Tosfos between the Pnei Yeshua's Samikutzi view and the Deus and Tosis view. Does Daya make sense when there's a pre-existing halacha category? We're just trying to figure out who fits into that existing category. So far we have three mahalchim to explain whether Daya should or should not apply here. According to Tosis, Daya should apply, and therefore Rav Huna Shalakin did. It's only from Tarfon. According to the Tosis Rosh, Daya doesn't apply here because we're creating something mamish so different from the Malamed. It's so radically different, Daya doesn't even touch it. And according to the Pnei Yeshua's version of the Sami Kutzi, so Sami Kutzi's solution on Yudah Rebbeis will be the same solution on Hei Amid Aleph. Comes to Pnei Yeshua and says, and you know what? There's an easier answer. There's a simpler answer why Dayo doesn't play out here. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it did play out here. Kol Zman, the Gemara thought it was the Kav HaChomer. But when the whole sugya ends in Hamad Beis, Rav Huna's whole Kav HaChomer fell by the wayside. What did Rav Huna really learn from at the end of the day? It was closer to what kind of a midah? It wasn't a Kav HaChomer, it was a Mematzino. What does Rav Huna say following the end of Hamad Beis? He says, we're really learning out from combination of Kesar Shtar Bia. Lo Rizek, even though Kesar Shtar have certain characteristics, Bia doesn't have, Bia certain things Kesar Shtar have, but Lo Rizek, Rizev, Lo Rizek, Rizev, Hatzad Hashem, Shem, Shekona Bi'alma V'Kayna Kan. When the Rav Huna finally says, Shekona Bi'alma V'Kayna Kan, says the Pnei Yeshua, we have left the world of Kav HaChomer, entered into the world of Matzads and Mematzinos, Binyanaz, etc. When you're having direct limud, one from another, without invoking the meat of Kav HaChomer, so then the Pnei Yeshua says, then Dayo doesn't work. Dayo is a din, is a detail in Kav HaChomer. Kol's not in the Gemara. But what was the Kav HaChomer? Dayo would have been a good kasha. At the end of the day, it is not a kasha to begin with. So Rabbi said, Baruch Yirchu, we have four biurim now as to the applicability of Dayo or the non applicability of Dayo to our sugya. According to Tosis and our sugya, Dayo is the nail in the coffin of the Gemara. It's going to end the sugya right then and there. Unless you hold it to be taifa, which I'm not going to accept the halacha. Otherwise, Rav Huna is done. And according to Tosafot Rosh, we can salvage Rav Huna without being bothered with Dayo, because this is the qualitative limud din. According to the Samikutsu, the Pnei Yeshua's assistants, we could salvage the Kav HaChomer without being bothered with Dayo, because it's a pre-existing halacha category. And according to the Pnei Yeshua, Dayo never will get off the ground at the end of the sugya. Even the sugya, the Gemara changed from Kav HaChomer to Mematzinus. So four different possibilities. So we know a little bit about why Dayo should or shouldn't apply, but we still have not quite fine-tuned the Kav HaChomer. Now that at least we gave a Tchias HaMeisim to the Kav HaChomer, it behooves us to understand what did Rav Huna want exactly? What did he envision? Rav Huna's new world now of Chuppah creating Kedushin, what would that have meant? How would that have looked? What is this new Chuppah creating Kedushin? What is that world? Again, according to the other Amoraim, the world doesn't exist. But within the worldview of Rav Huna, which according to what we just said now, salvaging Rav Huna, we may even paskin possibly, we have to now begin to work on what did Rav Huna envision this chuppah is going to do. Hopefully, let's ship tomorrow. We'll pick up on that. Milch, we're done with it.